You ever wonder why God blesses the unsaved? Look around and you see in this world that we live in, and you see people that have nothing to do with God, people that don't come into His house, that people don't aren't interested in learning about Him, aren't interested in growing, but yet they seem to have things that the one struggling to serve God, the one being made fun of, the one who's willing to sacrifice for God, they seem to have all these things that you don't have or that we don't have. You ever wondered about that, why God blesses the unsaved? I mean, look at Cain and Abel. He showed mercy to Cain after he killed Abel. But the Bible talks about following in the ways of the world, following in the ways of sin, and He refers to it as following in the ways of Cain. The people that seem to slander God, and they don't ever really seem to run into any trouble in their life. Things either have a tendency to work out, or they just don't care if they work out or not. And you could drag them to church, but it wouldn't do any good. They would just be sitting here filling up space. And I got to say that as many as the Lord chooses to send here, that's fine. We'd rather have people that are here for the fight. We'd rather have people that are here that are willing to sacrifice and that want to serve God. We've got plenty of room to grow in that aspect. We don't need to fill the seats up with people who don't want to do that. Well, one thing to look at that we may not think about, you know, God started with the unsaved world. Did He not? In Acts 15:12-14, then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. That was the unsaved world. What wonders and miracles is He talking about that He worked through the unsaved world? Anybody ever heard of a flood that came upon the world? And this guy that built the boat, and he escaped the flood of the world, him and his immediate family. Do you know that he was a Gentile? You see, all these things that God has done, the first place that He had to start was with the unsaved. Because what position were you in before you became a Christian? See, God has to start there. Verse 13, and after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. God came after after Noah and the flood. He had three sons that repopulated the world, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And through the lineage of Shem, that God blessed the world. Okay, and then from that, you had the Abraham, who was called out of the land of the Chaldeans. And all these people, God had worked these wonders, and He says right here that He had visited the Gentiles and took out of them a people for His name. But all of these people had one thing in common. One thing in common. Not that they were Gentiles. Not that they were great people. Some of them came out of idol worship homes. They were brought up in that mindset. And so, what do you think the child, as he grows up, that his mindset's going to be? But all of these people had one thing in common. They heard God, and they responded. So God reached into the Gentile world, and He spoke. And He had a man listen. And He had that man respond. I got to tell you, I mean, we can preach it 100 different ways. There's 1,000 stories in the Bible. There's millions of sermons that are preached in just our lifetime, if you take all the collective sermons, and it all comes down to that one thing. You're given a choice. God has spoke, and He's asked you to respond. He spoke to the unsaved, and He's asked them to respond. That's how, by that responding, by the hearing of God, and by that responding, that's what changed from being unsaved to being forgiven. Just that simple thing that God spoke and you listened. And so when you were kids, if we can remember back that far, I still can a little. And when our parents spoke, Was it better to respond and listen to them, or was it better to disobey? Everything didn't work perfect for the ones that listened and obeyed, but it certainly went better. You see, it's always right when the person that's in authority, when they speak, that you respond and you obey. And there's no greater authority than the authority that we have that's given by the Word of God. And when it speaks, we respond. That's what made the difference between the unsaved world and the saved world. I mean, what were we before we became a Christian? We weren't little Christians in training. We weren't little Christians in hiding. Don't be confused. You were not a Christian until the day that you were immersed into Christ. Period. And if you think that you were, you're deceiving yourself. I was not. I lived the majority of my life, 29 years, that I was not a Christian. I heard God because I read, I went to church, but I did not respond. And that's where all of us were. At some point in our life, we heard God and we responded. But see, the problem is, we talk about the unsaved being blessed. I think that we're mistaking about what we consider the blessings of God. See, we think that all these cars, the luxury, the money, the good life, oh, everything was just wonderful. This was just great. It's always been that way for me. If that's the kind of life you're living, you're not doing anything. Because Jesus said that there's going to be opposition in your life. And your life is going to be one of sacrifice and sorrow. Not sorrow that you regret, but sorrow for the sin that you begin to see in the lives of yourself, those around you, those that you love, and those that you care about. The blessings that we consider that come from God, and we look around and we see all the things that we hope to obtain. When you've worked your whole life, you would expect that when you're done, that hopefully your house would be paid for, that you would be able to live a somewhat comfortable life, to be able to go to the grocery store if you need to be able to pay for your medicine if you need to, and you know what, even maybe go on a trip once a year like you did when you worked. And you would expect that maybe you would have the money that when your kids come to you and say, look, Christmas time, I got to get my kids something, I won't get paid till here, this kind of thing, can I borrow a little bit of money until then, that you would be able to have the resources to help them out. You would think that your life would be on that natural progression. And that's how we see how God blesses us, is where we're at on that scale. And when we look at the world and we see that we don't have anything, that we're driving around in a clunker and we don't live in a great house and everything's falling down around us, and we look and we see the ungodly and we see that their life is in luxury, and we think, why is God blessing the unsaved and not blessing me? We're mistaken about what blessings are from God. Matthew 16:26, he says, For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? If any worldly blessing could save our souls, Jesus would not have made this statement. So all these blessings that we see that are in this life does not mean that they are blessings from God. A lot of what we have, a lot of who we are, is depending on where we start and the chances that are given to us. And God doesn't take away those things, because He says that some have one talent, some have five, some have ten. And God says, I can use them all if you will put them into use. So see, we look for something that comes from God that we've got to have a certain level before we feel like that we're being blessed, or that if it drops below that, we wonder what's happening, or we can't start our Christian walk until we get to that level. That's not what He's saying. And He's also saying here that if anything in this world is a worldly blessing could have saved our soul, Jesus wouldn't have asked us, what would you give in exchange for gaining the whole world to save your soul? Romans 4:7-8 says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. If you stand before God on Judgment Day and you had everything that your heart ever desired, anything that you ever wanted, and you stood before God, and you had lived the epitome of luxury in your life. All the things that you had hoped for had come to pass, and you stood before God unforgiven, versus someone who struggled their entire life, but they could stand before God forgiven. Which would you rather have? You want to look for a blessing from God. He says it right there. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Anything else? What else would you want standing before God on judgment day? There's plenty of things we want right now, but we have to keep our mind on the things that are above. We have to keep our mind on things that are not here, because the things that are here, they tear us down. All these things are going to pass away, God has said. The nice cars, the homes, the bank accounts, the looks, the clothes, whatever it is, they're going to pass away. You see, the blessing is given the chance to hear the gospel and respond to it. You want to look what the blessing is of God? It is for somebody to tell you the truth about salvation, for you to tell someone else the truth about salvation, and for them to respond to it. Because if you go to the trouble of telling them the truth and taking time to show them the truth of God, and then they don't respond to it, the very blessing of God that they want, that they crave in their life to know that they're in a right relationship, and they just throw it away because they heard God, but they didn't respond. And how many places, how many people have we talked to and been in that situation? That you try to explain the mercies of Christ found in the gospel message. Repent and be baptized. Jesus Christ is our Lord. The Holy Spirit coming into our life through that immersion. And they've looked at that blessing and they've said, you know what? You keep your new car. You keep your new house. You keep your bank account. I don't want nothing to do with you. You're not going to tell me what I can do. You're not going to tell me how I can be saved. You're not going to come in and look at my heart and say that I'm not saved. You're not going to do this. You keep all those luxuries of the world. I don't want them. That's essentially what somebody is doing when they're telling you, when you offer up the salvation of God and you've told them the truths of God and they've laid it out before you and they've heard God, but they walk away from that greatest blessing. So what makes the difference between the two? I mean, really, what makes the difference between the saved and the unsaved? If we both started off in the same position, what made the difference? Oh man, I just want to serve God. I want to sacrifice. I don't want to have nothing in this world. I want to want something and not do it. This is what I want. I want my life to just stink. I just want my life to be horrible because I want to serve God. Because that's what I've heard. I can't do anything. I can't buy anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't have any fun. And you got two people right there that are in the same boat. And one of them says, boy, yeah, I'd like to be nailed to a cross. That's just my job right there. That's my calling in life. What's the difference between those two people? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You got two people. One's haughty. One's very proud. One's not. Why? Blessed are the poor in spirit. God cannot work. First thing, God cannot work with pridefulness. If you're going to hold your life in anything that you've done up before God and anyone else, God cannot work with this. Period. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Sometimes it takes a little while to get there. It took me 29 years. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Does the fact that you have family members that are unsaved, does that bother you? Does the sin of the world bother us? Does the fact that Christ had to die on the cross because we couldn't say no, because we couldn't look at God and say, you know, you're worth it. We work our whole life to pay off a house that will fall down around us. We work our whole life to buy a car that in 5 years it's not so fun to drive anymore and it's not so cool to have anymore because we see something else that's so much better. We understand sacrifice in that respect. We give our whole life away for something that falls down and just comes through our hands like sand. We can't look at God and see and mourn for anything that He went through, that our brothers and sisters went through, and what our pridefulness and arrogance has put God through. Do we mourn in any respect for the fact that we're here this morning on the blood of a man who died without sin to give you this chance this morning? And we have friends and family that should be here, but they're not. We're concerned about that. Two men, two people, side by side, both unsaved. One can see that, one can't. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not thinking that you're worthless and telling everybody, "Oh, here's my brother. Oh, don't talk about me like that. I'm a worthless person. I'm just nowhere near as good as anybody else." That's not meekness. You know what meekness is? Hearing the Word of God and putting yourself under subjection to it. God says you're a sinner, then you know what? You're a sinner. I don't care if you don't think you are. God says you are. And if you want to stand in opposition to that, here we're just down three things that God has asked for. Because He said, the meekness will inherit the earth. Those who mourn shall be comforted. And the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Two people. One saved, one unsaved. But they both started off in the same place. And this is what makes the difference. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I don't care what kind of person you are. I don't care how loving, how mean, how greedy, how hateful, how pretty, how ugly. I don't care what kind of person you are. Do you want to make a change in your life because God says you're a sinner? People who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they want to draw closer to God because it's Him they want to please. And I know that we live in this world and it's difficult in the face of all the people that are around us, but do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? If you don't, God can't give that to you. If you have no need to go in debt for a new car, a car salesman can't sell you anything because you're not willing to make that move. Unless you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Two people, both unsaved, yet now one is saved and one is not. These are the things that make the difference. Blessed for the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You don't just tell somebody you forgive them so because you say, "Well, if I don't do it, but they all won't be forgiven." Do you have a need in your life to forgive anybody? Look, if you don't, when Jesus began to teach the nation of Israel, you know what He began to teach them? He didn't begin to teach them the laws of God. They had the laws of God. He began to teach them on the Sermon on the Mount. When He started this, He began to teach them what a life would be lived in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, living as a Christian, the life that would be coming. He wanted to say, He says, these are the things that draw you closer to God. These are the things that God can see, that God can work with. These are the things that make the distinction between the two unsaved. When God came to Abraham and He said, "Leave your family, get out of the land of the Chaldeans," He heard and responded because of these things. And if these things aren't present in you, you're not going to respond to the Word of God. You're going to have, in the end, two unsaved people. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Kind of tough about pure in heart because we're sinners. We've been tainted with the blood of unrighteousness. We've been tainted with desires that are not godly. The pure in heart is that we don't have any other motive to be here this morning except for one person. I didn't come because of my wife. She's not here because of me. My daughter is here because we brought her this morning, but one day she will have to make her own choice. But I'm here. My motive this morning is to serve God because I was a sinner that He forgave. And your motive this morning should be here to serve a living God. Not for anyone else. You know why? One day my wife may not be here. And if I'm coming for her, why would there be any reason not to come back? If she's coming for me and I'm not here, what would be the reason for her to come back? The pure in heart. We want to worship God because He saved our souls. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It is not my intention, and it should not be your intention, to cause a rift in this congregation. We should be, of all people, willing to forgive one another. To say, look, sorry. I can easily blow my stack. I'm not the only one. The problem is this world is constantly pushing us to test these very things every day of our life. You see, what makes a Christian is not a one-time decision. The Bible says that we will receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls, the end of our faith. We are tested on these things every day of our life. Maybe not all of them, every single day, but we are. Peacemakers, that's easy to do here. Y'all are sitting and listening, I'm talking. Hey, we ain't got much of a fight going on here. Take it outside. When we go outside, and we go outside these walls, and we try to tell people about Jesus, and we try to tell the people things that we've learned, and we try to show them Christ, not so easy to keep peace there. Self-righteous, hypocrites. Why would they want to come here? That's what they see. They see no power behind these words. These are the things that make the difference between the two unsaved people that heard the Word of God and responded. These things need to be present in order for you to respond. But now you are a Christian and you're sitting here. So why am I going over this? Because we're tempted on these things. We're tested on these things. These things need to remain in our life. It's easy to forgive somebody one time. It's not so bad forgiving somebody a second time. But when you have to give them a third and fourth time, and their decisions start impacting your life and making a change, it becomes more and more difficult to find grace and mercy to forgive that person. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We didn't just stand up and say, yep, I want to be nailed to a tree. That's what I want out of life. I want to be persecuted. I want to be laughed at. That's what I want. So Jesus, save me. He tells you that when you hold true to all these things, there are persecutions that are coming. And He said, blessed are those who endure these things. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Same thing that he told Abraham. I want you to come out of the land of the Chaldeans. I want you to leave your family. God spoke, they heard, and he responded. End of the book, Revelation. The Bible tells us, blessed are those who hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. That's not just talking about Revelation. We can show Revelation in all the other books. The horses that are riding, you go back to, is it Ezekiel, I think, in the beginning of the chapter? You go back to Ezekiel and they talk about the horses riding. These are things that come upon the world to wake people up. They're looking for this one particular thing in Revelation because they think it's a singular book. This is what we've been taught all of our life. But you go back in Ezekiel and the horses were riding to wake people up. And when they went back to give an account to the Lord, He asked, what's happening? And they said, we've walked forth to and fro amongst, I'm paraphrasing here, along the breadth of the earth. And he said, the earth is resting quietly. Everybody's just lulled to sleep because we got nice cars and we got comfortable homes and we've got cushy jobs, or we got big bank accounts, or we got all these things, whatever it is, we don't need God. We got a Walmart. Anything that we want, we don't need God. 24 hours a day, I can pick up my phone and find anything that I want and have it delivered to my door the next day. And I can pay for it. I don't need God. But he says, blessed are those who hear the words of the prophecy of this book and keep those things which are in it, for the time is near. It's almost laughable. You know, this book was written almost, 2,000 years ago? He said, the time is near. That's laughable. It was 2,000 years ago. We're missing it. Scripture was not written for one person. It was written for your life. It was written for your life. It was written for my life. And it was written for your great-great-great-grandparents' life and their grandparents' life. This book fits into every time. You know when he says to keep the words of this book for the time is near, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about your life. Who sitting here that's past the age of 20 can look back and think that time went so slow? Or do you think, where did the time go? I can't believe I'm this old. I can't believe that all these things have happened. I can't believe that was 5 years ago that we did that. I can't believe that. I can't believe how quick the time has passed since I've retired. All these things. And he says, the time is near. The Bible tells us that our life is like a fleeting mist, a breath. Then it's gone. Scripture does you no good if this Bible wasn't written for you, for this today. It was written for my daughter, and it will be written for her kids. And when the Bible says the time is near, I'll be gone. When her children's children read it, I'll be gone. Time was near for me. It was quick. The world says the church exalts itself above the unsaved. That's not true. Typically, they have more to brag about than us. You know why? Because they've got the whole world at their disposal. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want. Well rested, they don't give tithes, they don't worry about God, they don't feel bad about themselves. They're in a pretty good mood because they choose the direction of their life until the day comes that they stand before a living God and He demands an account of their life. The church has been called out of this world by hearing and responding to that gospel call. There's no difference between us and them. There really isn't. We've struggled with the same sins. We've cried with our friends. We've done the exact same things that they have done. But we heard God and we responded. When we ask, why does God bless the unsaved? He has to, because He has to give us a chance. That's the blessing. He comes into a crowd of the whole world, and everybody's looking around, what are we doing here? What are we doing? I'm kind of cold, and I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in a couple days. What's happening here? What's going on? And then this light comes on, and everybody looks. And they know they're about ready to get an answer. What's going on? What's all that? And He comes out, and He says, are you hungry? I'll feed you. Are you tired? I'll give you rest. Are you cold? I'll keep you warm. Are you scared? I'll comfort you. And they said, okay, yeah, we want this. We want this. And He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you will receive these things, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He says, this is a promise to everybody standing here that hears my voice. Forget about it. I'd rather be tired, cold, and hungry than I would put up with this. I ain't having nobody tell me what I can do with my life. There's a trick in this. There's a trap. Yeah, I heard you didn't even have to be baptized. We don't have to worry about this. Let's just leave. But there'll be a few left that heard that call. What are you still doing here? Because you told me the words of life. You said I had to be baptized. So I'm staying here. I want to be baptized. I want to be saved. I want to be called out from this world. You know you're still going to live in it. You know there's people that walked out that you're friends. You know they're going to They're going to tempt you. They're going to try to pull you away. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to laugh at you. They're not going to care about what you're doing. Your place is going to be different than it was before. I don't care. Wait a minute. You said, I can't even trust my friends anymore? My family's going to turn against me? No, that's not what I signed up for. I'm gone. And then there'll be a few more left. What are y'all still doing here? Because we love you more than we love all of that. You said, repent and be baptized. I want to repent and be baptized. They have the same choice to listen and respond. That's all it ever comes down to. That's all these sermons ever try to get you to see, is the choice that you have in the face of a living God. That's all these stories that we've read in the Bible of people's lives. Not fictional things, but of people's lives, how their life played out, and whether if they chose to continue to serve God or they chose to give up. Or they chose to pack it in early and just walk away. Any choice that you can make, you can find in Scripture somebody that's done what you did. Stick in there for a little while and then get pumped up a little bit and just think that you are somebody before God, and then you start backsliding, you start walking away, and you start thinking, you know, yep, I'm okay. I'm good. I don't need to come here anymore. You think, well, who would do that? A lot of older people do it. They come to a place in their life when they retire from work, they also retire from church. They don't have no need to go anywhere. They went to church all their life. Now they can just take it easy. Because God understands. God blesses the whole world the same way. He gives us a choice to come out of this world or to die in it. And the Holy Spirit that's given to us is our guarantee of eternal life. When we hear the gospel message and we respond, that's the blessing that we're looking for from God. And then all these other things we see in life are just part of life. I'm not upset with you if you have a better house than me. You shouldn't be upset with me if I drive a better car than you. That's not the way it works. We should be happy for one another. We're at different places in life. You need help in hand, help. I'll help you. If I need help, you need to help me. That's the way it's supposed to work. You're not owed anything. God bought and paid for your soul. You owe Him. You owe Him. And He has given you this call, and He's looking for those who will respond to this call. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. The Bible says that is a promise from God Himself. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?